For children in the foster care system, transitioning to adulthood can be a daunting experience. In Wisconsin, kids age out of the system at 18 years old. According to the National Foster Youth Institute, across the country, an average of 23,000 kids age out of the system every year, and some 20% of these young adults become instantly homeless. In Wisconsin, there are resources available to help with that transition, but these can vary from one community to another. Later, we'll talk to a sociologist about the challenges facing young people as they move out of foster care. First, we talked to a children's advocate who recently established a new transitional resource for these kids in the Chippewa Valley. Joe Luganbill is founder of the Luganbill Children's Foundation and the Smile House, a resource center and home for young adults aging out of the state's foster care system. It's scheduled to open next year. Joe, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about the inspiration for the Smile House.
Well, the Smile House is really something that first came to mind in 2016 when I was working as a caseworker with kids in foster care in Eau Claire County. And I had many conversations, far too many conversations, with young people who were 17 and a half or 18 on their caseload and in the process of what's called aging out, and they had nowhere to go. And having those conversations, it made it abundantly clear to me that there was a real gap in services and a real lack of a continuum of services for young people when they age out of foster care and have nowhere to go. And I think that's a big reason why, you know, there's the national statistic that 1 in 5 young people who ages out of foster care, they automatically become homeless. And so I knew then that I wanted to get a program going. And I, when I initially started telling people that I wanted to open up a house for that population, a lot of people were a little bit hesitant, weren't sure that we'd be able to make it happen, just because it's a daunting task. But now that we have a building, it's all the more real, and it's really exciting. Mm-hmm.
What kind of services would the Smile House provide to someone in that situation who ages out of the foster care system?
Well, the services are in the acronym, really. So the acronym of Smile House is support system, mentoring, independent living, and education. So first, having that support system, having a stable living environment for as long or short as they need, where they have an individualized resident plan that also can help tailor services that meet their needs. So perhaps they need assistance with getting access to mental health services or substance use treatment, or perhaps they're looking to get connected with a counselor and talk about career options, technical school or a trades program or a four-year college. Just looking at having that support system. Having the mentoring also, so having a stable and supportive atmosphere where there are adults who can serve as mentors, when there are peers who can serve as mentors, having that opportunity for independent living. So we know that's so important because often they do not have that opportunity. They go right from foster care to becoming homeless. They don't have any sort of a transitional program to help them build those life skills that they really need to be successful. And really, those life skills that all of us who were not in foster care and had our own families that were with us until we, you know, grew up, they helped us with those things. So making sure that we have those kinds of services and programs, and then, of course, education, because that's a big goal of the house, is that with everyone who lives there, we really focus on making sure that we can help meet their goals educationally and with moving forward in their career and in their education.
And can see how this would benefit the individual clients of the Smile House. How do you see this impacting the wider community in the Chippewa Valley area?
Well, what I really see is that this kind of a model isn't just needed in Eau Claire, my hometown. It's also needed in communities across the state and, frankly, across the country, because this is such a gap in services. And we know what happens when there is such a gap. We know the statistic that 1 in 5 who ages out of the system, they automatically become homeless. Now, when that happens, they automatically as a byproduct of becoming homeless, there's that opportunity that they might end up in another system. They might end up in the criminal justice system. They might end up being a victim of sexual abuse or of human trafficking. there are so many statistics out there that really indicate that young people who age out of the foster system and are in this kind of an experience where they become homeless, they have no support system, a lack of resources, a lack of connection, they fall prey to so many other societal ills and challenges, which ultimately costs everyone. It costs everyone time, it costs everyone money, and more than anything, it's an opportunity cost, because you're losing out on the potential that young people have when you don't invest in them when they need to be invested in. So I see it as an essential service, not just for the residents, but yes, for the communities, because it will be able to prevent so many other things. It will be able to help build stronger young people. It will help build resiliency for these youth, and it will help build a stronger community by virtue of that.
As we wrap up, Joe, what are the next steps for Smile House and the wider effort in the community to help foster kids who age out of the system?
Well, it's going to be an ongoing challenge, because we see more and more young people going into foster care, and so we will see more and more aging out of foster care. As far as our next steps with the Smile House, we hope to have it opened in 2020, and so for the next 4 months, 5 months, we will be remodeling the house. We have a variety of different projects underway there right now, and then we will be getting a staff and volunteer plan together and opening it up. And we'll be working with outside agencies to refer residents who would live at the house, and also allow for people to self-refer if they think that the Smile House would be a good fit for them.
Joe, thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
Thank you so much.
Joe Luganville is the founder of the Luganville Children's Foundation and the Smile House in Eau Claire. That's a resource center and home for young adults aging out of the state's foster care system. Now we take a look at resources available statewide to people as they age out of foster care, and what Wisconsin and local communities can do to set them up for success. Ellen Smith is a clinical associate professor at the UW-Madison School of Social Work. She's worked in child welfare for over 25 years, including working in child protective services as a social worker. Ellen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
A lot of people might think, okay, when kids go into foster care, it's a temporary setup. Either they're reunited with their birth family, or they get adopted. But talk about when that doesn't happen and kids end up hitting 18 and they're still in foster care.
Yeah, so as your previous guest talked about, there's about 23,000 kids who age out of our foster care system every year. And these are children who have families. They know who their families are, but for a variety of reasons, they were needing to be in the foster care system through their growing up years.
And talk about some of the challenges they face. We heard a little bit about that as we were talking about the Smile House, but statewide, what are the obstacles someone might face as they age out of foster care?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked about that. And I wanted to just invite your callers or your callers and your listeners to just think about maybe the children that they parented who turned 18 or their own experiences as young adults. You know, nothing magical happens at the age of 18. I would venture a guess that most of the people that are listening to you today continue to have contact with their social support networks and their families. And so this idea that something magical happens at 18 and that kids will be able to live independently is really a fallacy. And the kids that are in the foster care system often have additional challenges, such as, you know, significant trauma histories, mental health diagnoses. A number of our aging out women have had children with them, or have had even previous juvenile justice involvement. And so those are added challenges for those folks as well. And so when I think about what are the challenges, most of them are the typical challenges that any of us who have kids that age have. They don't know how to go to the doctor. They don't have anywhere to go for, you know, Thanksgiving meal, or know what to do when they get a flat tire, all those kinds of things.
And as we just heard, a substantial number of 18-year-olds then, as they leave the foster care system, don't necessarily even have a place to live. How common is that?
About 39%, there's a big study that was called the Midwest Study. So these are our kids in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa. where they looked at these outcomes for kids over a long period of time. And by the age of 24, 39% of the kids in this study had been homeless at least once or had been couch surfing since they had left foster care. So housing is a huge issue for these kids.
What kind of services are available that we could say, okay, wherever you are in the state, you can get these kind of services before we dig into what might be different from community to community?
Well, you know, we certainly have things like Badger Care that kids, you know, can sign up for. If kids are aging out of the foster care system, they are entitled to continue to receive services from their county human service agency, which includes some educational assistance that they could get if kids want to go on and get an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree, those kinds of things. So there are some financial resources for kids that are available statewide.
And we just heard about the Smile House being developed now in Eau Claire. Are there other local community efforts to help those 18-year-olds as they age out of foster care?
This is the first time I've heard of someone running a private type facility that would bring kids in and provide them with that array of services. But there are certainly communities around the state, county agencies that have tried to put together types of support groups and different groups that help people with independent living skills.
For people who age out of foster care, you were touching on some of the homelessness numbers. What other kinds of long-term consequences do we see if people leave the foster care system and they don't have those family and personal systems in place?
So I think it's important to note that that most of these kids do have some kind of family. And so there are things that we can do when we are helping in the communities for both kids before they age out and afterwards to help continue those relationships. These kiddos, one of the things that we found out is that if we can provide stable housing, support for education, some mental health and health care for these kids, they do achieve, you know, have educational attainment. They do tend to stay out of the criminal justice system. They do delay childbearing, and they have some, you know, good outcomes that way. When the support goes away, though, we start to see those same types of challenges start to emerge again. And so I think that, you know, this idea that there's going to be something that we can do really quick for a couple of years to support kids is probably not going to be enough. There are a lot of other systems that need to be available to these kids as they move through their adult years as well.
We're talking about foster care in Wisconsin and what happens when people age out of the foster care system. They're in foster care. They exceed the age of 18. And what happens next? Ellen Smith is with us, clinical associate professor at the UW-Madison School of Social Work. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Was this you as a youth aging out of the foster care system? If you're a foster parent, what did you see after a foster child left your care, maybe after they turned 18 or 19? If you worked in the system in some capacity, what needs do you see out there? You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll bring on a caller now. Becky is with us in Beloit. Becky, hi.
Hi. My question is, do you know if anybody partners with, like, military recruiters to help the people who are 18 maybe get into the military, get a sense of self and community and helping the country and, you know, and education that way?
Becky, thanks for the call. Ellen, have you seen anything like that?
That's a great question, and I actually have I don't know the answer to that. I know that children who are getting close to aging out do have are required to go through some sort of independent living, which includes making a plan for the future, which would be looking at kind of those post high school, you know, what do you want to do in terms of getting a job or the military or those kinds of things. But I don't know of any specific program that does partner with the military.
Yeah. Are there other, thanks for that call. Are there other systems in place to help not just make a plan for jobs, but maybe to connect kids aging out of the foster child system with employers?
So there are programs around the country as well to help provide extra supports for kids if they want to go on to secondary education. So there are scholarships that are available, and then some universities also provide like summer housing or mentoring programs to connect kids who've aged out of the foster care system with faculty or community volunteers, so they have somewhere to go over those breaks when the dorms are closed. So those are some programs that have shown success. There are also some programs that work with kids as a kind of getting ready for secondary education programs, so residential programs that teach kids how to, you know, how does college work and how do you do your laundry and live on your own and balance your budget and those kinds of things.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go now to Pierre in La Crosse. Pierre, hi.
Hello, how you doing? I'm a social worker in Minnesota, and I work with youth that are aging out of care. And we have an extended foster care program where the youth have to either work or go to school in order to be in part of the program. And also they receive a monthly stipend to help them with their finances. And I've seen a lot of success with the kids that are in the program, and most of them are either enrolled in school or working. And they can stay in that program till they are 21 years old.
Interesting, Pierre. Thanks for that call. Have you seen that kind of optional extended foster care with a few strings attached, as Pierre mentioned, Ellen?
Yes, there is. There are some federal guidelines that allow people to extend foster care. First, it was to age 21, and now it allows you to do that to age 24. And so different states are experimenting with what that looks like and what a supported living situation might be, whether or not they should require those kids to have a job or not. One of the challenges that we found in that is that some kids, they kind of, you know, not unlike kids who aren't in foster care, they don't want adults telling them what to do when they turn 18. And sometimes they want to try it on their own. And so it's really important that these systems that extend foster care give kids a chance to, you know, maybe fall down and have things not work out so well and have a soft place to land. So that they can come back maybe even at the age of 19 or 20 and say, I really need a place to live, I need a place to stay, and I need some help.
Thanks for that call, Pierre. We'll bring on Lori now in Marinette. Lori, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Lori?
Just wanted to talk about medical issues and food and nutritional needs also being met is a priority that would be on my list.
Look.
Helping the individuals.
Lori, thanks for the call. Ellen, you mentioned Badger Care as one part of that picture. Anything else out there when it comes to health and nutritional needs that Lori's bringing up?
Yeah, that is certainly something that these kind of supported living environments can provide for kids. But also remembering, I'm glad she raised that, because sometimes we think about just finding kids, getting them a college scholarship or helping them to get a job, but really providing that kind of support so that kids can get those medical needs met. At least a third of the kids who enter the who age out of the foster care system do have some type of mental health need. And oftentimes one of the really critical times for these kids is when they're aging out and they're, you know, moving to independence. They really do need to make sure that they have their chronic medical needs taken care of, and that somebody's helping them to do that so that they don't lose their care.
Thanks for that call. Let's talk about when kids are teens still in foster care. Is there enough support, as you see it, Ellen, for foster parents to do what they can to make sure that kid can leave and be as independent as possible when they age out of the system?
Yeah, that's one of the expectations in being a foster parent. But I would also say that just like, you know, other kids who are not in foster care, there's often a whole support system that provides some of those. It might be a coach that teaches a kid about responsibility and taking care of his hockey gear. Or, you know, there might be somebody else who helps teach a kid to drive or teaches, you know, teaches you how to bake Christmas cookies or whatever your family traditions are. And so there's room for more than just foster parents, but for whole communities to be able to lend a hand and provide that system to support kids as they move on and age out. And the other thing that I've heard from a number of foster kids as they've gotten into their teen years and then aged out is they also need some support in how to manage the relationships that they have with their biological families. If they have, parents or relatives that maybe aren't the most supportive to them, helping them and supporting them to be able to set boundaries and know how to have healthy relationships is another thing that's really important.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Ellen, do we have enough foster parents out there in Wisconsin?
We never have enough foster parents. In addition to that, we also need places for kids to go for the holidays when they're aging out. They, you don't have to provide 24/7 care in order to really make a difference in the life of a young person. Maybe you can just be a resource in teaching a kid about how to manage money or how to cope with their families or how to deal with a broken down car or how do you pay a bill or deal with, setting up a bank account? So there are opportunities for all of your listeners to help support our youth in the state of Wisconsin.
Ellen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Ellen Smith is a clinical associate professor at the UW-Madison School of Social Work. She joined us today to talk about challenges facing kids as they age out of the foster care system in Wisconsin and the resources that are out there to help them.